And there we are. We are live. So let's start our... I see y'all coming in here. I gotta wait. Like I say, this countdown time, I ain't figured it out yet. All right, we're back once again. Welcome to the LeVar Walker Show. Thank all of you guys for tuning in, all of y'all that have gathered around. When you saw that light went up, you came in here today. So what's going on? We are back. We're back again. Good evening to each and every one of you, to everybody that's tuned in. I just want to get a little mic check in. If you can hear me, if you can hear me okay, just say you can hear me, please. What is this? I'm promoting. Okay. We're not promoting that right now, son. If y'all can hear me, just comment below and let me know you can hear me okay. Can all you guys hear me? Is it good? Is it good, guys? Is it good? Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. So what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of LeVar Walker Show Podcast. We are here live and in full effect. Let me get that scrolling because I'm going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory the 18th to the 20th. And I just want to start today's show off with, I don't know if you guys know in the news, but Tekashi 6ix9ine and Kodak Black are currently doing a, they're doing a, what do we got going on? They are doing a collab together, Kodak Black and 6ix9ine. Kodak Black, if you don't know who he is, he's a rapper, street thug rapper. If you don't know who Tekashi 6ix9ine is, Tekashi 6ix9ine is a rapper as well. But Tekashi 6ix9ine allegedly told on his crew or something. Well, it's obvious that Tekashi 6ix9ine wasn't a street guy. The street guys got him involved. He was involved. He told on them, which is wrong, you know, but doing street activities and being in the street is wrong in itself. And Kodak Black, gangster rapper, street dude. And they're coming together in a collaboration for a song. And a lot of people are mad, especially Boosie. Lil Boosie is pissed off by this because Lil Boosie is like the high priest of the streets. And he is very, very upset when it comes to street code and gay people. He just can't take it. And basically, Boosie was saying since Tekashi 6ix9ine is considered a rat, that Kodak Black is wrong in doing a song with him. Now, I want to say this, man. You know, it's 2023 now. Look, man, we've been singing about this for years. The streets are dead. Nobody cares. And I know a lot of people, you holding on to your street credibility that can't get you a house. It can't get you a car. It can't do shit for you. You big bad nigga in the streets to a bunch of poor ass niggas that ain't got shit. And you pillage and oppress and rob your own kind. Listen. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. And also, I'm going to applaud the younger generation because they obviously, they really don't care. This guy, Tekashi 6ix9ine, got a lot of people incarcerated. And I mean, he's still putting out music. He's doing international tours. And now, I don't feel like Tekashi is in the right. I'm not going to say he was right for what he did. You know, on the surface, most people would think Kodak Black doing this song with him is wrong. But I'm just going to say this, man. When could we just tell these kids just stay out the streets? And there's no honor amongst thieves. It doesn't matter. If you are watching this, you're a street guy. It's what it is, but you have to know and you have to be totally realistic in the fact that that dude you think is your right-hand man, you know, your dog, he's going to tell, he's going to do you dirty, because it goes back to there is no honor amongst thieves. And Kodak Black and picking up this bag with Tekashi, he don't give a damn. He don't care what you think. He going to get his money. He don't care. He does not care about being friends with Boosie. And I get it. The only positive thing that I can see with this is that to the youth, the street culture is definitely dying, which will be great for the community. This will be great for the Black community. This shit is just really an atrocity. It's very sad. It's very sad. And I would like to say this to Boosie, at this point, can't you just denounce the street? Can't you just tell these kids don't be in the streets? It's in like with the G codes or the street code and all that gangster shit. It just seems like it's much easier to be a civilian, just to be a citizen, because there's so many rules. How can you abide by all these street rules, but then at the same time, you just can't be a good citizen, but you perfectly abide by every street law, regulation, and code. But when it comes to being a citizen, I can't follow the regular law. But that street nigga shit, I can do that. I can do that shit down. I know every law. I know the books of the laws. I got it all written here in the pad. Like, I just don't know. It just seems rough, especially when you got to pay so much money in taxes and you got to do this and that. What is that, son? Where'd you get that from?
My birthday.
All right. Here, plug it in right here.
What, right where?
It should. You could plug it in there. Yeah, so I would just say, man, let's let these children live. And I think they are smarter than us because they don't care. They're starting to disassociate themselves from what a guy does in the streets and his music, which is evident with the success of the rapper Gunna, who was in YSL. Gunna was part of YSL with Thug or whatever, and I'm guessing they considered him to be somebody that told, but I don't even know if he told. He took a plea deal, but his album is now number one. And also, too, with all of this, it seems like the genre of hip-hop is really slipping. It's just falling down the totem pole on music. I mean, I believe, like, worldwide, hip-hop is in sixth place now, where it once dominated. We had dominated, like, hip hop was in the number one position for like 30 years, and now it's just falling off the charts, which I understand because I mean a lot of the lyrics that I listen to, and I'm an elder state, I'm an old man, so my opinions in regards to hip hop doesn't matter at all. But from what I can see and hear, it's just like, what are they saying? Like, it just sounds like a bunch of incoherent gibberish. Like, what are you saying? Like, you know, you listen to some of his music, just like, I got the smoke, gotta breathe. Skirt. This is what rap has turned into. And this is like, what kind of drugs do I need to be on to even understand this music? Like, what are we doing? What kind of drugs do I need to be on to understand this? So I just don't know, guys. It's just time we just let it go. Do we stop a lot of this nigga shit? It just really be good Black people. It's time now. It's time we all look in the mirror and say we can and we will. And so I guess in that sense, I couldn't be happier by this collaboration and by people accepting this collab. So moving right along, I want to talk about artificial intelligence today. As you know, everything is running off artificial intelligence. AI is on the move. That's a big part of the writer strike, the WGA, which I'm a member of, as well as SAG-AFTRA. That's a big thing. It deals with AI and these technologies being able to write and think for people. I don't know necessarily, I won't necessarily say it's thinking for us. I think it's almost like using a calculator where it's like, if you got an idea, the artificial intelligence can help you formulate the idea, outline the idea, and help you push it forward. I'm not necessarily scared of artificial intelligence, because what artificial intelligence can't do and what the scientists can't figure out, this is why I'm not scared, because they haven't figured out consciousness. So we don't know what makes us conscious, just as animals, just as beings. What makes us conscious? What makes us love? What makes us hate? What gives us our being? What gives us our sense of awareness? That is one of the things, and they've been trying to do this. Neuroscientists have been trying to do this for the last 20 or 30 years to figure out what makes us conscious, and they can't figure that out. So I don't really think that the artificial intelligence will necessarily be able to become a sentient being. Now, would it be smarter than humans? Of course, because it's able to gather so much information and scour the internet, and it could be 1,000 times more powerful and quicker. But what's happening, like right now in Washington, they're trying to rein it in. They're trying to put in restrictions on artificial intelligence technologies. And I don't think that'll necessarily be a good thing, because if they start to overly regulate and, you know, people can't come in to use this, what happens is, a lot of times when the government overregulates industries, the government indirectly forms monopolies. You see what I'm saying? When you come in with all that regulation, when the government tends to mess a lot of things up, you know what I mean, for the free market world, for the market. So, like, when you think about Frank Dodd, which was with the banks, and in 07, 08, we had a big bank crash, and they were saying that the banks were too big to fail. So they came up with this Frank Dodd legislation, which would put a lot of paperwork on banks, a lot of regulation on the banks. But what it did, it overregulated banks to the point to where now you have a few big banks, but it's almost impossible for other banks to even enter the marketplace due to, you know, getting lawyers and fiduciary responsibilities and shit like that. So it did the opposite of what it wanted to do, and that's being the Frank Dodd. So it actually made banks even not just too big to fail, but bigger, way too bigger to fail, because they're only so few. And that goes the same with this artificial intelligence. A lot of these companies are rallying for the government to get in and set these regulations, because they know, like, if you're a Google, if you're Apple, if you're IBM or some shit like that, these companies primarily know that if the government comes in to overregulate, then they will be able to monopolize, because a lot of startups won't even have the money to be able to compete or get through the regulation hurdles for them to compete. You get what I'm saying? So it's not really a good thing. Artificial intelligence needs to definitely be open source. Everybody needs to use it. Everybody needs to, like, play with that shit and figure it out, or you're going to get left behind. basically. So whatever it is you're trying to do, you know what I mean? Check out some AI, ask it some questions, play with that shit, or you're gonna get left behind. You're gonna become inferior. I mean, like, using artificial intelligence now and into the future is the same thing as learning to read a book. Could you imagine, like, walking around and you can't read, right? You know what I mean? People will take advantage of you. So you don't want humans to have an upper advantage on you, especially in the field of technology and shit like that. You don't want that, because you'll be in trouble, man. Your ass will be in trouble. Like, you'll be controlled, you'll be manipulated, because that's what this artificial intelligence and a lot of these technologies do. They don't necessarily, like, make you do something. They manipulate you over a period of time, right? You know, if somebody wants you to move right, if I get you to move right by about 1 degree, you know, every day, you know what I'm saying? By the next year, you will have been turned a full 360-degree circle. So no matter what you had thought before, you would be thinking totally different. So you want to stay abreast. You want to stay ahead of this shit and just kind of learn what you can. I mean, you're not going to learn it in one day, but just play with it. Like, use that shit. Use it to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. Moving right along, I want to talk about this new song out by this country singer named Jason Aldean. So this guy goes by the name of Jason Aldean. He has a new song, and I really wish I could. Yeah, there we go. All right. Come on, man. Jason Aldean has a new song. And he's a white guy, country western singer. And I can't, let me pull it up over here. Yeah, and then I'll move that over there. There we go. Let me see. Jason Aldean. I want y'all to see this. Let me pull this up. All right, there we go. So this guy, Jason Aldean, this is him right here. Oh man, come on. There we go, make it bigger for you. So that's Jason Aldean. And Jason Aldean has a new song. And in this song, they accused the video of being a pro-lynching song. And the name of the song is Try That in a Small Town. Now, I just want to see the lyrics on this. And Whoopi Goldberg and all these people were crying out about this song. But let's take a look here. So you got this song, Try That in a Small Town. These are the lyrics. And I'm going to see if I can maybe sing along to this or something. Let me see. So the lyrics go, sucker punch somebody on the sidewalk, carjacking old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss a cop out, spit in his face, stop on the flag and light it up. You think you're tough? Well, try that in the small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. Okay, then he goes, got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck. And then he goes, try that in the small town. Full of good old boys raised up right. If you're looking for a fight, try that in the small town. Now, this song, for whatever reason, because I don't understand, they deem this song as racist and as racist and divisive as somehow being a pro-lynching song. Now, for what I'm reading, it just sounds like a man that's just saying, don't rob, don't shoot, don't kill, don't do this. And if you do in this particular town, the people are going to stand up for themselves. That's what I hear. But for whatever reason, Whoopi Goldberg and all these outlets, oh no, this is totally racist. How could you say this? Now, the thing and going with this song being racist is that a lot of these media outlets are showing me their true colors, because you're saying that you deem every black person to be a thug. Every black person is robbing and spitting in the police face. And that's not even true, because most of this Antifa and a lot of these people that were pushing in these BLM movements and shit were like white dudes. Like, a lot of them were, like, if you look at the videos and stuff. So you're grouping black people again. And the irony in all of this to me is like, we really outraged at that song, but like, I've been listening to rappers for the past 30 years telling me how they gonna kick me in my ass and fuck my bitch, and it's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Like, it's okay. You know, one thing about this whole music industry, you can't, and somebody said this, I don't know where I got this quote from, but you can't kill a woman, you can't kill a child, you can't kill a dog, but you can kill a nigga all day, every day. So I asked those, where is the outrage? If you're going to be outraged by this shit, you might just want to ban all of the gangster hip hop songs. Literally. Boy, get out of here. What are you doing? Get out of here. Upstairs. My goodness, I can't even. So if you're gonna ban that, you might as well ban everything. Literally, like, this is where we're at right now. And I saw it and I'm like, how could they be upset by this? This is light work. This is light work from the music we've been listening to every day. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Man, NWA, I mean, we can go down the list, man. It goes on and on, started from the late 80s gangster rap on up. So how can this country song about trying something in a small town, it's certain things in my community, which I don't like to see. I don't want to see nobody coming in here robbing, carjacking, butt kicking doors in. Hell, I got something to protect myself and my family. That's what the song is saying. But once again, we're in this divisive, very divisive place. And I believe that a lot of the race baiting tactics are only to divide us, but the rich are getting richer. Because I do believe, like, right now, like, I think this is just a haze, like, it's just smoke and mirrors kind of. But I do believe that classism has surpassed, like, we talking rich and poor. We talking a wealth gap that's growing so big and so wide, where you got, I forgot, like, it's such a small percentage of the people that control all the money, black or white. Now, it's more white ones, but I don't even think a lot of rich white people like poor white people. I'm not a white man, so I would have to talk to some of my white homies, but that's what I believe. I think we're going to class him. Just like a lot of rich niggas don't like poor niggas. Like, they don't. Like, this is where we're going. But they keep throwing this type of shit up in our face just as a distraction. And Whoopi Goldberg talked out. She talked out. Whoopi was mad. Whoopi got mad about it. She was mad. I can't believe that they would even... come with a song about a small town. It was racist. It was divisive. That's what Whoopi said. I'm like, nah, Whoopi. Nah, there's a lot of music that got a lot of niggas killed. And that music was predominantly gangster rap, street culture, which I jammed to. Y'all act like dancing till I caught a body about a week ago. What body you think they talking about? A body that looked like me. That's what it was about. Caught a body about a week ago. Week ago. Shot that nigga in his head just a week ago. Like that. And no outrage. So you can't just pick. We can't just pick the outrage, man. You can't just be selective one day. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see myself as any of these people that he's talking about. And I don't even see black people in this light. You know what I mean? But we do have our thugs and, you know, people that own nigga culture that do it. But I don't really see it. So moving right along, Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan, man. When I see them in public, I want to fucking vomit. It's the most disgusting shit I've ever seen in my life. And once again, I want to say to Michael Jordan, you need to cut that boy out the wheel. If you told him to leave that woman alone, he kept messing with her, cut his ass out the wheel. This is ridiculous. And I don't even understand how young, rich, 30-something-year-old man would want to be with a 50-year-old woman with 5 or 6 kids. That's just a reflection of how bad Michael Jordan was as a father. Michael Jordan is my GOAT of basketball, but I think if we dig into Michael's personal life, he might come in last place. I'm just saying. I don't even understand. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But for me to sit here try to pretend that shit is somehow regular and okay, like he's dating his auntie, like, bro, like, what are we talking about here? I'm being dead ass serious. Like, what is happening? What is happening? Just the respect. Can't you just have the common courtesy to respect what Scotty and your daddy built? Huh? How can't you respect that? Can't you have some fucking integrity, nigga? For what Scotty and Michael did for the fucking Bulls, man? While we was in the crack war and getting our issue, and we all on the south side, west side of Chicago, and that was the only outlet we had, was what Michael and your daddy bought to the city? Huh? You can't respect that shit? You gotta fuck your auntie, nigga? What? Who are you? Who are you? And why? Why? It just disgusts me. It makes my ass itch. Every time I see them and she's sitting up there, and she don't even like you. Look at the videos, man. Woman don't like your ass with her long lip ass. She just trying to keep that money coming in. Then poor Scotty got to give her half his goddamn pension. Half. Half. Yeah, she got a son in the league. Do you know how much distraction? You know, if they ever do a movie called Slur, I ain't going to even say slut, but Slur of the Rings, Larsa Pippen should be the fucking villain, and she should play the lead of the Slur of the Rings, because she has all the keys. She has won. She has really kicked ass and caused havoc and broke up probably 2 of the biggest superheroes on the earth, realistically speaking. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, the realest dynamic duo. Right? Batman and Robin was fictional, but they were real. They were real. They were my heroes. And this shit, it's just sad. God damn it, Marcus. Why, man? Why? I don't understand it. And moving right along, Lana Del Rey was working at the Waffle. She was seen working at the Waffle House. And Lana Del Rey, I believe, is a singer. I guess she a country western singer or something like that. But she was spotted working at the Waffle House. And people are making fun of this woman. Of Wives, Alabama. So this is her. Let me see. There we go. So this is her at the Waffle House, and people are just in a rage about her working at the Waffle House. Understand this, people. If she is working, if you see a celebrity or a star like working a job, applaud them. Don't try to make fun of it. It's nothing wrong with working an honest day's living. You know what I'm saying? Because Dave Chappelle brought up a perfect point, and I was watching a video of him saying, and he said, when heroes fall, cowards rejoice. They rejoice. That's what Dave Chappelle said, and that is so true in this. So if Lana Del Rey got into a tight spot with some money or something, and she needed to go get a job at the Waffle House, well, right on for her. Right on for her. Shit. If people got to work out here, shit. I mean, this entertainment shit ain't all it's cracked up to be. One minute you up, the next minute you down. You don't know. So shout out to Lana Del Rey for working at the Waffle House. I want to find the one she work at so I can come get me. I'm going to come out there and get me a damn a waffle. Shit, shout out to her one more time, Lana Del Rey. But don't be so quick to dismiss people because they working a damn job and you seeing them on TV. Ah, look at him. I knew you wasn't shit. It's just a way for y'all to say, yeah, you ain't shit like I ain't shit. It's very heart-wrenching. Like, let her do her. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's it. I think we're going to wrap this show up. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Let's just go over a couple of comments here. Hello. Hey, Janine. Okay. We're going to start from the top and work our way down. Hey, Tierra. She came in here. Tierra. Good evening. Gloria D. Lewis. Diane Rodriguez. Thank you. Hevo Speaks, appreciate you pulling up. Lomax. Okay, Tony Williams. Good. Let me see. God is turning around. It's hard to say. I think about it is sometimes you have to lose on every life lost gun violence. That's right. That's right on, Leslie. Appreciate that. That was a jewel you dropped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to see his video to understand what we talk. I saw the video, Tracy. I mean, yeah, he did have some black people in there, but like, it didn't affect me. Like, and Tracy's talking about the Jason Aldean song. It just didn't. I didn't see the issue. I wasn't like up in a tizzy over it. My Bob, got to do what you got. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do to make a living. Ain't nothing wrong with working no job. I don't like how people like, when did we become a culture where we just shame hard work or a person working a job? You know what I'm saying? I worked in the pharmacy for 20 years before I took this leap of faith to get the hell up out of there. And you know what I mean? If some shit happened, I got to go back. I go back. It's what it is. I don't mind. I'm not that prideful. I got to feed my family. I got to do what the hell I got to do. There's nothing wrong with an honest day's living. So we're going to leave it on that. I'm about to wrap it up and get my ass up out of here. If you guys, matter of fact, let me go ahead and see if anybody wants to call in. If anybody would like to call in, y'all can hit me right now before I wrap this up at 678-310-7139. You can call in to give me your opinions or whatever you think about this show or whatever I was talking about. Y'all can call in right now if you would like. We got a few people in here. It's Friday night, so everybody must be out. We got a few people on YouTube. We got some on Facebook. And okay, listen, when I close this, when this shit is off, don't call me because I'm not going to pick up that phone. So, but anyway, since nobody's calling, listen, check me out. I'm going to be at the, I'm going to be live at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Y'all make sure y'all get those tickets. Baltimore Comedy Factory, the 18th to 20th. You can get them at LeVarWalker.com/tour dates. Hope you guys enjoyed this particular show. Let me see if we got one more comment in here. What would you do if your son was at home crying on the floor? I would tell him to get up and ask him what's wrong. Why'd you ask me that? Is your son at the house crying on the floor, Tab? Is that what's going on? Tell him to get his ass up and we'll talk about it. Okay. All right, well, that's it, because y'all ain't, okay. It's a slow night tonight, I see. That's what we're doing. This is what we're doing, huh? This is what we're doing. I'm trying to come, bring y'all ass the news, and this is what y'all going to give me tonight. Okay. What would you do if your song's out? Oh, it's a song. I didn't know that, Tab. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Well, anyway, once again, Baltimore Comedy Factory. I'll be down there the 18th to the 20th. Get those tickets. And this has been another episode of the LeVar Walker Show. Let's cue the music back up. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into this show. I'm going to keep coming to y'all Monday through Friday. And we're going to keep it going, man, because I like this little song. Love you too, Leslie Finney. Appreciate you coming in. Y'all see? Yeah. Y'all gonna make me spit a high 16 on this motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah. I got a doctorate degree, but I get on jokes. Niggas wanna go broke, don't we? Oh, fuck it. Hey, I'm out of here, guys. Good night. God bless. Y'all have fun this evening. It's over. It's in America.